Things are not always what they seem.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Sometimes you have to read between the lines to figure out what's really going on.
It's tough to get any more obvious than that.
Get ready to discuss provocative issues in our community, like spirituality, philosophy, and education, to ethics, crime, and everything in between.
So far, so good.
It's time to open your mind and look at life on a deeper level. Give it some thought and get to the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
What's about to be said right here, you need to listen with both ears.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. On News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. Give it some thought. Dr. Harold Bennett is here, coming to you this Sunday evening. Not only this Sunday evening, but every Sunday evening from 6 until 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, give it some thought with Dr. Harold Bennett, coming to you from this platform, News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. And I'm glad that you've decided to kind of spend some time with me this afternoon, or rather I should say this evening. If you're on the East Coast, clearly it's evening. But as you move forward towards California, it kind of becomes a little more afternoon. So regardless of from where you are listening, if it is in California, or if, in fact, you're up in D.C., or you're in Texas, or you're in Florida, or you're in New York, or wherever, you're in North Carolina, wherever you are, listen, glad that you are here. Glad that you have decided to be a part of this conversation. All right. Listen, you know what our custom is. We believe in hospitality. We believe in bringing people on board. That's what we do here at WAOK 1380 AM, the voice of the community. And because of that, I'd like for you to like us on Facebook, 1380 WAOK. All right. Like us on Facebook. Go ahead and take a few minutes and do that. All right. And as you do that, I'd like for you also to like The Gist of the Matter with Dr. Bennett, Gist spelled with a G, G-I-S-T. Send a request to be a part of the group, and you will definitely be admitted. Now, you'll be admitted. You'll have an opportunity to share things in cyberspace with the group. You know, questions, postings, you know, just all kinds of things. We'd love to have you present. All right. So, hey, and in the meantime, what I'd like for you to do, too, you know, call somebody, you know, text somebody. You know how we do that little thing. My daughter tells me sometime that I don't text quick enough, but my skills are getting better. I'm building my speed when it comes to texting. I'm texting now with two hands, y'all. Not just one, but with two hands. Yeah, Bennett was one of those slow fellas texting just with one, but I'm starting to text with two. All right. So listen, text somebody, email somebody, and let them know that the Gist of the Matter with Dr. Bennett is on the air. And we will. I'm telling you something I want to talk about today. Hopefully you'll call in. Let me tell you what the number is now so you can have it. The number is 404-892-2703. You got it? 404-892-2703. That's the call and number. So go ahead and jot that down so that you can get in a slot and you can be heard. Your voice can be heard. Your opinion can be heard. Your perspective can be heard. All right? Great, 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 great. All right, now, you were probably wondering what it is I want to talk about today. I got a couple things on my mind, but I tell you one thing in particular I want to do. I want to talk about a legacy. And when I say a legacy, I want to talk about perhaps what in fact will be the, I don't know if I should say fallout would be the word, but George W. Bush transitioned earlier this week. I think it was on Friday. Was it Friday? Yeah, it was Friday. He transitioned on Friday, and I think he was 94. And I want to talk about George Bush today, and I want to get your thoughts on the Bush administration. I want to get your thoughts, especially on the Bush legacy. I want to talk about George Bush. I want to talk about the Bush kind of legacy. You know, how, what are your response, your reaction, your most fondest memories of George Bush. But, you know, what will you remember most about his presidency, you know, his policies, some of his actions? You know, I'm even interested in thinking about or even talking about perhaps the differences between a Bush kind of politics, Bush America, and even a Republican who's in the House right now. Y'all know him. He is 45. So I'd like to talk maybe about 41. And 45, I mean, you know, points of similarities, points of how they were different. But I want to talk about George Herbert Walker Bush today. And I want to get your thoughts. I want to know what you think. I want to know how you processed this transitioning, you know, because some of y'all probably going to say, you know what, big deal, so what? We can talk about Bush. We can talk about, you know, his America. We can talk about some things that he did. And, you know, maybe he was very different. Bush Senior was 41. Maybe 41 was different from 45. Maybe Bush 41 was like 45. Hey, that's a conversation to be had. And I am certain that with your participation, we can have this discussion. With your input, we can sort out this thing. You know, hey, let me know what you think. I'm going to let you know what I think. And perhaps callers from all around the world will join in. And each of us, each will let the other know what he or she thinks. All right? That's what we're going to do today. We're going to get down with it. We're going to talk about George Herbert Walker Bush, 41. Going to see where this conversation goes. All right? Wonderful. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK. The voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Get them back to the table.
Now back to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
This is the one they're talking about.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703. On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Mr. Bush did die late last night at his home in Houston, Texas. Omar Villafranca is in Houston near St. Martin's Episcopal Church, where the funeral for the former president will be held. Omar?
Good morning, Dana. The president actually lived just a few blocks from where we're standing, but all eyes are on St. Martin's Episcopal Church behind me. That's where we're expecting services to be held early next week. It's also the same church where his wife, the former First Lady Barbara Bush, had her services when she died earlier this year. Now, as this news started to spread, we are seeing reaction from one of the most exclusive clubs in the world, people who call themselves the most powerful person in the world, the President of the United States. In fact, Bill Clinton, who, of course, ran against George H.W. Bush in the 92 presidential election and beat him, and later formed a close friendship with him, issued a statement reading, in part, "Few Americans have been or ever will be able to match President Bush's record of service to the United States. He never stopped serving. I saw it up close, working with him on tsunami relief in Asia and here at home after Hurricane Katrina. I am proudly, profoundly grateful for every minute I spent with President Bush and will always hold our friendships as one of my life's greatest gifts." Barack Obama said America has lost a patriot and a humble servant. While our hearts are heavy today, they are also filled with gratitude. And George W. Bush, the 43rd president of the United States, said George H.W. Bush was a man of the highest character and the best dad a son or daughter could ask for. We also wanted to show you this tweet. It's from Jim McGrath, who's the president's longtime spokesperson. And it's believed to be the last time Mr. Bush was seen in public. He was joined by his Secretary of State, James Baker, and his service dog, Sully. And President Bush was casting a vote in last month's election. And for the people.
All right, News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. What you just heard there was just a report there that talked about the transitioning of George Herbert Walker Bush, the 41st president of the United States. Now, you know, it's interesting because Bush Sr., I'm going to call him 41. He had, you know, I would say he had some very interesting credentials. You know, you think about it now. He had been he had served as a congressman from Texas. I think he had served two terms there. He also had worked as an ambassador to the United Nations. He was the chairman of the Republican National Committee, National Convention, National Committee. I forgot how them Republicans work that. He also was the director of the CIA. You know, that's something I think about, too. And he also was Ronald Reagan's wingman, you know, so he definitely came with a very interesting resume. You gotta put that out there that he did have a history of service, and he'd been in World War II. And some of the stuff I read said that he got shot down, you know, in World War II. So, you know, clearly, you know, he had a resume, a vita, that said that he had some commitment to, I guess, the United States. And we can unpack all of that. And, you know, and those are the kinds of things that people talk about when they mention him. But there's a lot of some other things we can say about him. And I'd like to know what you think. 404-892-2703. I'm going to the lines immediately right now. I'm going to get my friend Todd. Hello, Todd. How you doing, man?
Yo, Dr. Harold Bennett.
How you doing, man? I got you early today. How you doing?
I'm in a perpetual state of struggle, man.
Hey, like the heavyweight fighter, man. Like the heavyweight fighter. I've been fighting for 400 years, huh?
You got to struggle to move forward. It is not a negative statement to say that I'm in a perpetual state of struggle. It just means I'm pushing to move forward.
Hey, I'm with you, man. I'm with you, man. Making it happen. I'm with you.
Okay, there's four things that jump out to me in reference to George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, three of them are reasonably positive. Two of them connected to his work history, and two of them connected to his family. In my first presidential election, I almost voted for him. I was real close to voting for him over Bill Clinton. And I got a chance to talk to Bill Clinton because he came down to campus with his wife and actually talked to some of the students. So here's the thing that jumped out to me. Prior to him, when he was the director of the CIA, and this was something that I had read about him and found out later that it was true, he pushed to get the CIA out of private citizens' business. He made a very aggressive push to do that. And by that, I mean that the CIA had a practice of spying on private citizens for no real particular reason other than that they could. Okay?
Now, you know, Todd, I think that's your propaganda. I don't think Bush wanted the CIA out of private people's lives. I don't believe that.
I believe that he did.
I think that makes good TV.
Well, hear me out. Hear me
go
out.
Ahead, man. Listen, I'm listening.
This was
go ahead.
This was something that I read about him. So I don't even know if I was in grade school when he was the director of the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
So this was something that I read about him at a later date when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was propaganda. In fact, I read some of the surrounding facts to it, and there was a lot of push against him remaining as director of the CIA because they did have a common practice. A spying on private citizens just because they could. He wasn't completely successful. He brought it to the public's attention, and by the CIA director acknowledging that said a lot about him. You know, so I thought that was an admirable thing about him.
Now, I'm going to tell you why I just think that was propaganda, man, because I would argue that if the CIA is responsible for providing security to the United States, and especially on an international front, I would argue that there could very well be threats to the security of the United States while they might be doing some, you know, being concerned with international issues in a domestic front. Here in the United States, in its within its borders, there very well could be people with information, with data, other kinds of things, man, that could in some kind of way be connected to some international kind of crises. And I just think that the CIA would not want to cut their legs from under their themselves by, you know, not checking on I wouldn't say not checking, not monitoring, you know, the lives of private citizens. I think that's just, well, he just playing to the TV, bro. That's what I think.
Well, you know, there's his description was spying without just cause. That's what he was basically saying. But let me move on because you're limited on time.
Hey, you know what? You know what? I'm gonna tell you what I'm doing right now. I want to hear you out because I kind of wish I could have had a little more time to talk with you about something one day. This might be my day. Go ahead, man.
Okay, so then the other thing, which is actually, this is connected, of the two things, this is actually connected to his work history.
Okay.
When George Bush came out and said no new taxes, I thought that was such a foolish, I mean, I couldn't vote for him at that time.
Now,
right?
which Bush this, you talking about? Are you talking about 41 or 43?
I'm talking about when he ran for president after Reagan's time was
okay,
up the first
okay,
time.
Okay, go ahead.
When he came out with that no new taxes stuff, man.
Read my lips.
Yeah, I thought at that point, now this was something I knew before I knew about the CIA stuff. I was like, that's absurd. Because even as a kid, I understood that taxes are what contribute to the running of the country. And you can never make a commitment like that as a president. So those are the two things that stood out to me about George Bush as his work history. But as a private citizen, well, separate from his work history, George Bush did a pretty good job of picking out a teammate early on and his wife and staying loyal to their commitment to one another and the methods and way they were going to raise their family. That is admirable of a 94-year-old man who died 7 months after his teammate, 73 years in marriage. That jumps out to me. I'm from a family of people that stay married happily and productively, and I that's something that I respect when I see that in people. Yeah. And then the last thing, and this is as a private citizen thing as well, the dude came from privilege in life, but he went down in Texas and did his thing with them Texas oil boys and got a good oil company running and kept and you know got it and earned his worth and his credibility down there. And business helps run this country. Those are the things that stand out to me about George Bush right there. Well, he lived a good, relatively ethical life.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. And he was married, I think, 73 years.
73 years.
Yeah, yeah.
He never heard anything from either one of them other than they were grateful that they picked each other.
Yeah, yeah, but you do know now, not trying to start some mess, but you do know there were some people who made some allegations that 41 had some wandering hands and wandering fingers and that kind of thing, right?
Well, that's why I said relatively. you know, stuff happens, but the thing that jumps out is they always spoke grateful of one another being the husband and wife of one another. Yeah. That's impressive, man.
Yeah, they were married for 73 years. Now, trust me, that's no small accomplishment. I think that is extremely... That's phenomenal. I mean, most people aren't married that long. But Todd, thank you so much, man. Keep on listening. I appreciate your call.
I want to know what it is that you wanted to come to me about, man.
Oh, you don't want to know. You don't want the world to hear this one, man. That's all right. It's coming back. Okay. Oh, Todd, I got to bring this up some other point, man. Some other day. Hey, man, I'm going to deal with it. You and I are going to have fun one day. All right, Todd?
All right, man. I appreciate
your broadcast.
Not
a problem. Thank you, man. Hey, that's my friend now. Hey, News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Sometimes there's more than one answer to a problem.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
We're exploring the possibilities.
Just follow my lead.
It's Give Us Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You're listening to The Gist of the Matter with Dr. Harold Bennett. Yeah, I am your brother. I am, for some, your comrade. Your comrade, because we are joined in struggle. We are joined in efforts to liberate our people and to deal with those types of things, those policies, those practices, those institutions that work to undermine the self-sufficiency of black folk, to in some kind of way denigrate, you know, people of color. I am your comrade because it is one of my causes in life to dismantle those types of policies, those types of procedures, those institutions, whatever they may be. So, hey, I guess I am your comrade. All right. Listen, I was thinking about something during the break, and I got to thinking, today is, you know, December 2nd. And, you know, this is America, and we are a country that is pluralistic. I mean, you got different groups here, different people here. It's an interesting tapestry, a very interesting tapestry. And I said that because I got to thinking, hey, today is December 2nd. So what I want to do, I want to wish all of my Jewish friends Happy Hanukkah. How about that? Happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah to you. Hanukkah starts today, and it goes for 8 days, something like that. Because I think Hanukkah is over like December 10th, December 11th, December 10th. I think that's when it's over. But happy Hanukkah to you. And guess what? Christmas is coming up, y'all. So I guess I should say Merry Christmas. I should say Merry Christmas. And then also, you know, because we live in a world, in a society that's very diverse. So I want to, you know, definitely say that because, hey, Thanksgiving was over, and some of us enjoyed such sumptuous feast. Yes, we did. We ate all kinds of foods and had fellowship with our families and significant others and that kind of thing. Thanksgiving is over. Christmas is on the way. Hanukkah is jumping off. And Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is going to start right after Christmas. And then we're going to have a new year. So, you know, December is just a great big old month. And you know, I wonder, I really, really wonder how many of us, even as African Americans, are going to celebrate Kwanzaa. What are we going to do? But that's a conversation we can have as the time draws closer. You know, Kwanzaa, usually we start celebrating Kwanzaa like the day after Christmas, which is a whole interesting conversation that I think is that we ought to have about doing it and finding ways to join in community. And do it. And when I say join in community to do it, we can get Christians together. We can get Muslims together. We can get all people of African ancestry who are here in America, you know, and we can find some kind of way just to get together for something that's very, very positive. All right. But, you know, that's just me thinking about this the month of December, thinking about America and thinking about how diverse we are, so many different population groups, so many different faiths that are present. And I got to saying, hey, it's December. Got a lot of days, a lot of things to talk about, a lot of important festivals, you know. And, hey, you just heard about three of the big ones, Kwanzaa, Christmas, and Hanukkah. So, hey, I hope that you will be enjoying yourself this month. Okay, 404-892-2703 is the number, and we're talking about George Bush Sr., 41. I'm going to call him 41 so that I can make sure I don't confuse him with Bush Jr. and 40, 43. You know what was one of the interesting things about Bush Sr., and I don't know if y'all know this, but, you know, you might. You know, he did not back Donald Trump. He did not endorse 45. You think about that. Think about that. He did not endorse 45. Now, you know, that's a very interesting kind of break with tradition where you would have a Republican president not endorse, you know, another Republican candidate. But for some reason, Bush Sr., 41, you know, he didn't want no parts of Donald Trump. You know, I mean, think about this. Think about this. Bush's son, 41 son, Jeb was actually running against Trump, and Trump lit into him. You know, called him all, you know, was very, very hostile, calling him, a low-energy fellow. I'm trying to remember some of the interesting kinds of terms and adjectives he used to describe him. But I will tell you this, 41 did not support 45. Didn't do it. You know, hey, maybe that's a window on his character. Maybe that's a window, you know, on perhaps 41 was seeing something that he was worried about other people seeing, and maybe he wanted to, by not endorsing 45, maybe he was sending America some kind of Americans, people who were watching him and looking for some kind of endorsement. Maybe he was, you know, kind of letting them know that, you know what, y'all better wake up. We might have a problem here. But he did not. I'm saying 41. 41 did not endorse 45. That's interesting. And, you know, I've got to commend 41 for that. I've got to commend 41 for that. That is something that I think was very, very prudent, was very wise, and perhaps something that might have had might demonstrate that 41 had some deep concern for the good of the community. And for that reason, he did not, you know, he kind of wanted to distance himself, and he did distance himself from 45. Hey, you know, that's what it is. So that's one good thing. So definitely Todd has gotten us to thinking about a couple of things that that 41 did that's noteworthy. He stayed married for 73 years. You know, that's no small, you know, that's no small accomplishment. That is absolutely phenomenal. Married for 73 years. And then I'm saying, I want to put this in play. The fella distanced himself from 45, didn't want anything to do with him. You know, now I wonder sometimes, I mean, he definitely, you know, just washed his hands of the fellow, but still, you know, I'm not so sure that they were totally different in some of their policies or in some of their strategies, you know, when it comes to, you know, campaigning, when it comes to using certain ideas and certain images to rally people, or shall I say, to get people to support their agendas. I am uncertain if they were really, really very, very different, because there are a couple things in my mind I'm thinking about that I find quite interesting. And when I say a couple of things that I'm thinking about that I find quite interesting, you know, there are some very interesting parallels between some of the tactics of 41 and 45. And I'm going to talk about that on the other side when we come back. All right. 404-892-2703. That's the number. Put me on speed dial. You give me a call. Hey, you know what? I feel something in my spirit today. Hey, Gloria, I feel something in my spirit today. You just might go to the front of the line. How about that? 404-892-2703. Give me a call. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK. The voice of the community.
Give it some thought. You might be surprised what you discover.
This is where it gets interesting.
Dr. Harold V. Bennett is back on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. You're listening to Give It Some Thought. Dr. Harold Bennett is sitting in this seat and having the time of his life. I tell you, you know, this has got to be something that the ancestors agreed to a long, long time ago, to make sure that there was a space present for a brother like me who can sit around and just have fun talking and listening to you and discussing matters in the community. I'm having fun. You know, I've had a great day today. I spent part of my day with my daughter. She's preparing for the debutante ball, and she and I were practicing our little dance, our little two steps and everything, y'all. So, hey, y'all need to check Bennett out in a couple weeks, December 22nd. I'm going to have on my tux. I'm going to be two-stepping. I'm going to be twirling her around. Oh, I'm going to be rough. Oh, it's going to be something. Me and my baby girl are going to be doing our little thing at the Jack and Jill debutante ball. GMAC, the Greater Metropolitan Atlanta, you know, chapter of Jack and Jill. They got something going on December 22nd, and Bennett going to be a part of it. I tell you, there's some phenomenal women. They're doing some great things. Hey, you know, having fun today, me and my little girl getting ready for that big old day where she can, I can introduce her to society. Ah, her debutante. 404-892-2703. We're talking about 41. And I want to know your thoughts about 41. I did say he didn't support Trump. And, you know, there's some reasons, you know, we can talk about that. Listen, I got a caller. I'm going to go to Ephraim. Ephraim. I got Ephraim. Thank you, Sean. Ephraim, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm fine, Dr. Bennett. How you doing?
Man, I'm good. And forgive me, your name is Ephraim. It's not Ephraim. I put too many syllables in there.
Yeah, people make it more complicated. I just say Ephraim.
Ephraim, there you go, man. I'm going to do better next time, man. What's happening?
Oh, that's fine. Thanks for, you know, kind of working that out. But, yeah, thanks for taking my call also. Yeah, I was going to call to talk about George, was it H.W.?
Yeah.
Bush?
Yeah, Herbert Walker.
Correct, yeah. The con is, I go with the pro-con part. Well, he probably has something to do with Martin Luther King's assassination as well as the downfall of the Black Panthers.
I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past him.
And so I'd say the pro thing is that he got us out of Desert Storm, you know, instead of going all the way into Iraq, which his son did.
But you know what, though? But think about this, Ephraim. I mean, while he might have, I don't know, I think in many ways he might even be part of the whole idea of American involvement in the Middle East. Because you remember, he was the one that got that stuff going with Kuwait. You know what I'm saying? He was the one that got us over there in Kuwait by telling these
giving false signals.
Yeah, I was going to say he put these stories out there that there was these massive buildup of soldiers and tanks, and somehow or another they was in some kind of way, you know, blocking or impeding American interest in whatnot in Kuwait or wherever it was. And somehow or another he was lying about the whole. Well, let me put it like this. There was considerable disconfirming evidence support put forth to suggest that he wasn't telling the truth.
Right. Well, just like his son.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying I was boots on the ground at the time, so I was glad to get up out of there.
Well, man, my hat's off to you for being, you know, your life being put in jeopardy
That's why I continue to struggle, because I think I earned the right to, you know, I've been serving this country all my life.
Yeah.
And I just think I need to devote the rest of my life to serving my people.
Mm-hmm.
We got some folks out here look like us that's, you know, they serving other gods. So, yeah.
Well, bro, trust me, everybody look like us ain't with us. You always remember that.
You got that right, Dr. Bennett. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Not a problem, man.
No
problem. All right. Hey, look at that. That was a great call. Great, great call from Ephraim. And I'm sorry, look at Ephraim. Look at me. Just slipping. Oh, Bennett got to do better than that. Got to do better than that. I just don't like mispronouncing anybody's name. I prefer to say it and to say it correctly. All right, 4489-22703. We're talking about 41. And Ephraim is right now. I will, you know, we got to admit now that he did get us involved in the Middle East and with Kuwait. And we still got some, you know, the remnants of that kind of thing is very much so around, you know, American engagement there in the Middle East has a lot to do, I think, with some of the misinformation that was put out there by 41. 4489-22703. Let me go to Ron. Hello, Ron.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, and about to be good night. But I think it's just, hey, Doc, it's about to be there's some great narratives that's going on, and I'm glad you're having this conversation, because surely we have to connect his legacy with, like you just stated, misinformation.
Sure.
And it was some soldiers, highly ranked soldier, one combined by the name of Scott, that proved that what was described as weapons of mass destruction was a lie, was an untruth. So, and I would hope that, well, matter of fact, Trump rant on the fact that that we got into the war with bad information, and he stated that we need to stay out of these type of wars. But it seemed like it take a lot of courage that a lot of the people do not have, and I would hope that the legacy would tell the truth, and then I think that the narrative would probably be true, mm-hmm. that he was a man of conscience. But right now, to allow that lie to stand, Doc, I think that it's, it feeds into American imperialism and the idea that we can just do anything we want with the lives of other people and of citizens. But I'd like to get one other thing about, and if I can take a little time, about 10 seconds, 15 seconds.
Go ahead.
Doc, I don't think I got it in last week when I called the show, but I think when we start talking about elections and representation, I would encourage, and I want to ask you, have you been down Martin Luther King from the east of the stadium going west, or the west of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Martin Luther King past Westlake going east? And to see the design that they put on there, that historical street, and the congestion and the danger and the inconvenience it put citizens in.
Oh, I see. I absolutely see it every day, every day.
That's a nasty narrative where they don't care about the voices or the input and elected officials. It's really racism, self-hate, and everything else. I made mention of racism, and they said it's racism where black leaders have expressed no care of vanguard in protecting the connectivity and the comfort of their own communities to put something like that in a major highway like that in Atlanta. And it's could you tell us a little something how it make you feel and to see it?
Well, here's the deal. When I'm going up and down MLK, I see so many things that are happening there with the changes in the infrastructure, and I'm wondering, you know, just what in the world it's going on there, because you probably have seen, when you get up there by the dome and you start making your way back down towards, like you said, Westlake. I mean, the streets are all torn up. I don't know what they're putting in the streets. I don't know what up there putting mediums. I don't know what it is. Even, you know, starting up there by Morris Brown, and like you say, you know, it is extremely, you know, just so
disruptive.
That's the excellent word to use, because once you get up there by where Phyllis Wheatley is, I mean, really, it's all tore up, it's all messed up, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's behind it, but I know one thing: it is terribly, terribly disruptive.
Yes, it is, and I think that we're going to have to start allowing our minds and eyes to see that it's a reflection of the powers that be and who those representatives are, and we need to remember, and we need to say, hey, we don't need that, and we need to frame a new type of sensitivity, because that sensitivity who allowed that to happen, if we can't get them out with a recall, we definitely ought to remember them 3 years from now and get them out. And Doc, I appreciate your show so much, and I'll be tuning in and listening to you. And let's get these narratives right about the Bushes. And we know they're humans and they're families, and they probably did some great service at some point of our government. But this war and sending troops in to because of mistruths and lies is unacceptable. And we as Americans and citizens should not forget that.
There you go. All right. Thank you, my friend, Ron. Hey, News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Things are not always what they seem.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Sometimes you have to read between the lines to figure out what's really going on.
It's tough to get any more obvious than that.
Get ready to discuss provocative issues in our community, like spirituality, philosophy, and education, to ethics, crime, and everything in between.
So far, so good.
It's time to open your mind and look at life on a deeper level. Give it some thought and get to the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
What's about to be said right here, you need to listen with both ears.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You know, that happens to be Marcus Miller. That's Red Baron. That Red Baron, right, Sean? Yeah. I tell you, you know, I've said this before, and I won't back off of it. Marcus Miller got to be one of the baddest bass players around. Yeah, bad boy. Listen to him. Oh, back up, Marcus. Don't kill him. Oh! All right. I know. That's Bennett. That's Bennett getting in it just for a minute. So come on and y'all stick with it. 404-892-2703. Listen, we're talking about 41. And we're and Ron made a he brought something to our attention, or shall I say, he invited us to think more deeply about something. And clearly, yes, when you think about the Bushes, you think about 41's legacy. I mean, you know, there are some things we need to think about. Yes, he did make a what I would say he was somewhat misleading and somewhat dishonest in terms of the case that was made for this that Gulf War. That's probably the best way I'll put it. But I want to go back to something else, though, that I really remember, you know, 41 doing. How many of y'all remember Willie Horton? Y'all remember that Willie Horton kind of ad that he ran? That Willie Horton ad? And what 41 did, 41 did something, you know, that I consider very much so a very interesting playbook from the Republican Party's catalog of strategies for somehow getting certain people to vote for them. And in some ways, 45 is running this same, still running this same play. They still running the same offense. Y'all remember the Willie Horton ads, and this whole Willie Horton ad that 41 used, they kind of took this this story of a person, of an African American who had, I guess he had gotten out of jail or something. He was out perhaps like on a weekend pass or something very similar to that. And what's interesting is the story goes something like why he was out. I believe they say that he raped somebody. And so what does 41 do? 41 takes this, you know, this story, takes this gentleman's picture, takes Willie Horton's picture, creates this ad. And in his presidential campaign, think about it, he was trying to make a case for, you know, talking about, you know, criminals and crime and getting tough on crime and whatnot. But what he did, though, by taking his Willie Horton story and by attaching it to this whole issue of nefarious behavior, he started playing into, you know, white fears of black men and white apprehensiveness and white apprehension of, you know, being concerned of black men and what black men would do to white men and white women and crime and stuff if they go unchecked. So what did he do? What did 41 do? 41 found a way to take a narrative that certain people have embraced and to use it in some kind of way to support what he was doing, you know. So what am I saying? I am saying he definitely played the race card, you know. And in a lot of ways, y'all, that's not too different from what 45 has done. I said that. Hey, hold me, Jesus. Yeah, I said it. Y'all probably think that I don't bump my head, but no. No, 41 found a way to play this race baiting kind of thing and to, in some kind of way, play on certain people's fears of black people and black men. And that's a, you know, that's something to think about. And, you know, like I was saying earlier in my conversation, I was talking about how 41 distanced himself from 45 and how 41 was in some ways. Maybe he was trying to say that perhaps there was something about him that was different from 45. Well, I tell you what, when we think about this whole idea of finding ways to play on white people's fears of black people or to introduce race, you know, put it on the table and use it as an instrument, you know, for galvanizing votes. Hey, I'm not so sure they were that different. I'm not so sure they were that different. 404-892-2703 is the number. 404-892-2703 is the number. And you know my policy. Any of you who listen, you know my policy. And if you don't, if this is your first time listen, your first time listener, let me tell you what is the policy. If you disagree with Dr. Bennett, if you disagree with Harold Bennett, if you have a contrasting point of view, an opinion that flies in the face or contradicts what Bennett is saying, you go to the front of the line. You call in and you tell the screeners, you tell that wonderful, intelligent person who will answer the phone what your question is, and you tell them that you got beef, you want a beef with Dr. Bennett. And you know what? You go first. You will go to the front of the line, all right? 404-892-2703 is the number, and I want you to have that in front of you because I'm sticking to my guns. And when I say sticking to my guns, I'm telling you this whole business of finding a way to play on, you know, to embrace or to reach out and to take a narrative and to use a narrative about race and race relations and this kind of thing and use it to support a particular agenda. Yeah, 41 did it. And you know, y'all, hey, you know 45 is definitely doing it, and he ain't no shame to his game. He is sure enough doing all kinds of things to advocate, you know, for you know, a certain perspective. Because I don't usually say this a lot, but I'm telling you, boy, you better watch 45. And when I say I don't say this a lot, I really don't like talking about him. I really don't, you know, because sometimes I feel like it's just a waste of time. But I will say this for my conversation today. I did start off by talking about, you know, 41. And in some respects, you know, we got to understand, yes, there are some good things that we can say about him. And you know, one of our earlier callers pointed that out. Say the brother was married 73 years. Yeah, I get that. But his resume, clearly, yeah, he was a 2-term congressman from Texas. Yeah. You know, that where they're burying him right now and where they're going to have a lot of the ceremonies aren't too far from Texas A&M. So he, you know, I guess he's a major fan, major supporter of Texas A&M. I'm thinking that was the case. He definitely got down with the CIA. Now, that's the part we need to, man, that's what I think deserves being unpacked. You know, I mean, hey, sound like we might have somebody who might have been involved in a little COINTELPRO. I'm just saying. All right. I don't know what you think. 404-892-2703. News and Talk Radio. 1380 WAOK. The voice of the community.
Get them back to the table.
Now back to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
This is the one they're talking about.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
I'm the one who will not raise taxes. My opponent My opponent now says he'll raise them as a last resort or a third resort. But when a politician talks like that, you know that's one resort he'll be checking into. And I... My opponent won't rule out raising taxes, but I will, and the Congress will push me to raise taxes, and I'll say no, and they'll push, and I'll say no, and they'll push again, and I'll say to them, read my lips. No new taxes.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You're listening to The Gist of the Matter with Dr. Harold Bennett. And what you just heard was 41 singing and emphasizing something. He was making a point, and that point had to do with the whole issue of revenue for the United States and a source of revenue. And for some, he says, and I say for some because I just can't move beyond the fact that I just think it's all propaganda. They're playing games. But for some, I guess it sounded like that this was something that he was going to do. No new taxes. I think that's what that said. Me thinking and loving words and raising questions. When I'm thinking about how folk play games, they say no new taxes. Does that mean no new sources of taxation? Does that mean, we're not going to increase the amount of taxes on existing basis for taxes? So in that sense, it's not a new tax. We're just going to tax those old bases more. Hey, you got to play that game. You got to think about this thing because, politics is interesting. People, politicians lie. And, that's just what they do. I'm always impressed with people who seem to be frustrated because a politician lied. That's just what they do. And so I really think that's part of the if you're not prepared to just sit around, and just lie all the time, maybe Bennett being a little rough, but I just think politicians tell lies. I just do. DB might disagree with me on that, but I think politicians tell lies. Rashad might disagree with me on that, but I think they tell lies, me and Slaughter probably gonna say the same thing about that kind of thing. I don't know. But I think they lie. But I don't know. My colleagues probably gonna agree with me on that. Well, that'd be a great conversation for us to have one day about the ethics of politicians. Woo! 404-892-2703 is the number. You can get you into the conversation. Again, if you send the request to the Gist of the Matter to join the group, you can actually engage me. You can engage me digitally. You can engage me in cyberspace, and we can I can hear exactly what you have to say about this thing, because I sure would love to know your thoughts about 41. Hey, I said something about the Willie Horton ad that he ran, and this whole idea of finding ways to somehow or another, play on white people's fears of black folk and whatnot. And I did talk about, and I did mention that there was some degree of dishonesty when it came to this Gulf War. There are some that said we might want to talk about 41 as a war criminal. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because, the argument is that, 41 dropped, tons of bombs on Iraq and killed a whole bunch of citizens. I've seen so many numbers about the amount of bombs that were dropped. And, for that reason, some have said because of the casualties that were that were a result of them, that perhaps he ought to be considered a war criminal. I don't know. I know. What do you think? 4492-2703 is a number. Let me go to the lines. I got somebody I think that wants to talk to me. Dr. Paul. Hey, man.
Hey, Harold. This is Dr. Brown, your colleague at Phillips.
Man. How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm good. I am so glad I hear your voice. This sounds like somebody that's got something to say. What's on your mind about 41, man?
Well, you know, when we talked earlier, briefly, I guess, through text, I thought about what you said and who you were going to, the topic that you were going to be talking on tonight. And, of course, my opinions run the gambit because I think when you speak of 41, especially in light of 45, you know, it makes him just a little bit more tolerable, I would say, than what we have now. But when you really look back on his time in office, I think that, as you're alluding to, not just this whole idea of the Iraq war that he spearheaded and was he had overseen, I think we have to remember that two things. Number one, he never got his intended target. As number one. Number two, it literally created a it spread this whole idea of terrorism.
Yes,
created a visceral atmosphere that was even greater than what it was before it got started. And I think the other thing that I really wanted to point out was that we have to remember this was the person who succeeded Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan started this whole war on drugs, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong. Reagan was the one who came up with this three strikes, you're out thing, which really gave light to this pipeline to prison industry that we see today. And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't that Reagan who started this?
I think Reagan had a lot to do with it. But you're on to something, though, Paul. You're on to something because I'm going to tell you right now, I think we would be making a very serious mistake to write out or to, in some kind of way, clear 41 of any kind of role in playing this whole introducing race into this conversation on this war on drugs. That's why I want to go with this. That I think that 41 had a whole lot to do with picking up this thing and maybe taking it to a whole another level. You remember? I don't know if you remember this. He did some kind of ad, I would say not an ad, but he was addressing the nation, some kind of whatever it was he was doing. He was talking to the country, and he held up a bag of crack cocaine. And he tried to talk about that this was taken somehow or another in the park that was right across the street from the White House. And what he very interestingly did was use this whole thing as a basis to somehow or another get this whole increase in spending on this what you call it, the war on drugs or the
right.
War. Yeah, yeah. And right. But here's what it did though, Paul. This goes back to what you were saying though. What it did though, it contributed to, you know, building more prisons, more
that's
jails,
correct.
more
that's
courts.
The point I'm making.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying, man. You were on to something. If he clearly 41 clearly continued. If he didn't mastermind it himself, he clearly built on what his predecessor had done. No question about it.
Yeah, and the thing that really troubles me with Bush Sr. is that, you know, he had an opportunity, and I think we have to be mindful of this. He had an opportunity to reel this in and really focus on the drugs that were actually doing damage and not just.
Right.
It wasn't just a crack epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, crack was a poor man's drug.
Yes, it was.
And it's a drug that obviously targeted African Americans because it was cheap, it was easy to make, and it was it sold very fast. But it was also highly addictive. And when you take from that this notion that you still had in place this three strikes, you're out rule, and you get individuals who may have been arrested on misdemeanor drug charges, you know, once or twice, but once they got arrested the third time, they were done. They were done. And that ravaged, in my humble opinion, the African-American community. And to this day, you know, its effects are still far-reaching. And I honestly don't think that we really give that the kind of discussion
that it needs to, that really needs to be. And I think it was Alexander who wrote the book, the new Jim Crow.
It was.
Who talks about this whole Michelle Alexander, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Who talks about this prison industry and how it has adversely affected the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
So while I do respect, 41. Certainly, as I said, his tenure is a heck of a lot better than what we see with this current administration. I don't think that we can overlook, what his policies did to Black America. Now, remember, he was the one who came up with this so-called idea of trickle-down economics.
Paul, do me a favor. Let me hold you. I'm up against a hard break. Can I hold you over to after the break?
Go right ahead.
Okay, hold on. Let me hold you over. All right, listen, I got a couple of callers. We're going to hear Paul out and a lot of things we're going to say in response to Paul. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Sometimes there's more than one answer to a problem.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
We're exploring the possibilities.
Just follow my lead.
It's Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Oh man, that's funky right there. What you playing, Sean? That's funky right there. I like that, boy. That get your head to moving. That's that Erykah Badu, clever. Hey, we got Paul on the other end, Dr. Paul Brown on the other end, and he's made a great point, and he's talking about 41 and how he basically escalated this whole prison industrial complex. He really, put this thing on the fast track. I'm going to let Paul finish saying what he's saying. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm sorry. Say that again, Dr. Bennett.
No. I was saying, and one of the things I was taking away from your comments was you were right. You were actually onto something because you're inviting us to think about 41 and the role he played in escalating or promoting this prison industrial complex. Because that's really what he did with this whole quote-unquote war on drugs, because what it did, it really turned into this all-out effort to really go after young Black men. That's really what it did.
In my opinion, it also gave law enforcement license,
mm-hmm.
License from the federal government,
right,
to use whatever tactics. And that's one of the reasons why I believe to this day that African-American males, and I heard this shared at a conference by one of the presenters, I can't remember which conference I was going to recently, but it was stated that Black men are viewed by white America as weapons. Your Blackness is a weapon. And because it's a weapon, they don't see you necessarily as a Black man. They see you as a weapon,
mm-hmm.
a weapon that, could harm them, and
right.
It creates and sparks a fear in them. Just this past week, I believe it was, the two fathers who were shopping in the mall with their children, and they were accosted by a store that they were in. The manager of the store called the police, had these two men handcuffed in front of their children, while she was allowed to search their bags, only to realize they hadn't taken anything. So, an argument could be made. Her argument is, they were in the store and she thought they were stealing something. Again, it's this whole idea of a Black man presumed guilty mm-hmm. for something, for just being a Black man.
Right.
And I believe it's a direct extension of the policies that have been put in place by this country and by previous administrations.
Listen.
That have allowed yeah. them to have license to do yes. whatever they want to Black men.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for your call, and you are right. and you've allowed us and invited us to think very, very differently about some things. Thank you so much, Paul. 404-892-2703. I'm going to go to Dudley. Hello, Dudley.
How you doing, Dr. Bennett?
Man, I'm good. How you doing?
Well, I'm trying to hang in here. I mean, not hanging here. I'm trying to survive.
I hear you, man.
You know, it goes to show you how relevant things can slip away from you. Because now, there was actually even before those Saudi Arabian terrorists, 17 of them, flew their planes into the World Trade Center, 41 said that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
And they never found them because they never existed. But the thing about it was now, a lot of people didn't know that a long time ago, Kuwait was owned by the Iraqis.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people didn't know that Saddam Hussein was trained by the CIA, which 41 happened to be the head of, that Saddam Hussein and 12 men, he swam across the Tigris River, but I think it was about 14 to 22 miles, somewhere like that, pulling a Zodiac, which is an inflatable craft full of weapons and munitions. And they the ones that led the coup and took over Iraq, being backed by the United States government. And then they turned on him and flipped. And like the brother did say, that there was a time that the Willie Harden story came about.
Yeah.
It was a time when they were down there, and Reagan had already had Oliver North to go to South America and trade between the Contras and the Sandinistas to trade guns and cocaine. And they brought the cocaine back here, sent it to Los Angeles around Long Beach, and had the Crips in the Blood distributing the cocaine. That's when they came up with crack. And then they came up with the, Clinton came up behind him with the three strikes, you're out. And it really destroyed the black male population, which, you know, we didn't have that much of a fortified male black population anyway from all of the other things that they have been doing. It goes to show you these are some real devils that have been systematically and using lies and coattail techniques to destroy us. Mm-hmm. And they never have really stopped.
No, they didn't. And I think we need to, you know, that's something that, you know, if we're going to tell the history and talk about, you know, what someone has done, and you know, you're going to have Obama, and I'm certain you're going to have, you know, Bill Clinton, and that's going on now, talking about, you know, what they remember most about 41. And I'm certain they're going to talk about some of the other things that we opened the show up talking about him working with the CIA and being a pilot and being a president and those kinds of things. But again, when you think about the black community, there are some things that he did that we also need to talk about. And you all are really pinpointing some of these things. And Dr. Brown was really on point about this whole issue of this prison industrial complex and really how 41, you know, really got this thing, you know, on the fast track by asking for, you know, over $1 billion to be increasing spending just to authorize or to give, you know, the police the right to go after young black boys.
Hey, you know what? I hope that God is listening to this radio show. Because I sometimes I wonder if he knows what's going on, because he's supposed to come to the rescue and deliver us, and we've been waiting, and he ain't showed up yet. And I think maybe
you know what? Hey, man, now you will push me on that. Now let me tell you my theory on that, since we philosophize. Let me tell you what my theory is on that. Sometimes I really think we need to stop asking God for patience and strength to endure. We need to ask God for the power to fight back. And for the strength to do something about
amen.
This mess.
Now you're preaching to the choir.
Bro, that's my thing, man. I get tired of folks just sitting right here praying all the time, asking them to ask God to give them strength to put up with something. Now you need to ask the Lord to give you the strength to smack somebody. That's what you need to do.
Hey, Brother Bennett, you have solidified the whole thing, because, like, I saw what they did to Saddam Hussein,
yeah,
Hussein and Kudai.
Yeah.
And I see how it seemed like something out of Revelation, because it said that the two olive trees, and this, that olive tree is a parable for Middle Eastern people,
yeah,
because it's all olive complexity, will be cut down and laid in the street, and it was going to be laid in the street for 3.5 days. And while they laid in the street, people all over the world was going to see it at the same time. That's,
yeah,
we saw it on satellite, that it was going to send gifts to each other in celebration of that. And when you see that, 41 was behind that,
mm-hmm,
because he's the one that started that, because he also is the one that came up with that directional drill head that enabled the Kuwaitis to drill diagonally into, mm-hmm, Iraq's oil field and suck the oil out from beneath them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you really unwrap this thing and unpackage it, there's a lot in this package.
Brother,
and,
I'm with you.
I have never seen us do anything, you know, just waiting on somebody to come help us. We have to get out and do it ourselves. If you want to eat sometime, you have to go plant a seed and let the crops grow.
You know what, man? You are on to something. You are on to something. Thank you so much for your comment. Boy, we got a lot to talk about. I'm up against a hard break. Dudley, thank you, man. We're gonna deal with this on the other side. Dooley, okay. Hey, and don't ever let me mispronounce your name. If I mispronounce your name again, stop me early, okay?
I just wanted to be able to have the opportunity to put my two cents in there, because now, the other thing is, I'm 60-something years old,
mm-hmm,
so ain't nobody really got to tell me something, because I've been awake the whole time, and I got an eidotic memory.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Dooley. I appreciate you. All right. We'll be talking on the other side. Listen, News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Give it some thought. You might be surprised what you discover.
This is where it gets interesting.
Dr. Harold V. Bennett is back on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You're listening to the gist of the matter. In fact, you're helping us get to the bottom of things. We're giving it some thought with Dr. Harold Bennett. And of course, you, my audience, my family, my conversation partners. Hey, y'all making this thing go. Y'all are what makes the world go around. And I'm glad and appreciative and humbled by the fact that you are calling in and you're shedding light on this topic. We're talking about 41. He transitioned, I think it was Friday, this past Friday. And people are talking about, when I say people, I know I saw some things where former presidents Obama, Bill Clinton, and even 43 Bush Jr. was talking about 41. That's Bush Sr. And I wanted to talk about that today, and not really, you know, trying to, you know, skew or when I say skew, I'm not really just trying to talk about the fact that, you know, all that noble stuff he had done, you know, being a high cultured person. You know, he went to Phillips Academy up there in that Boston area, you know, so clearly Boston, went to Yale. I think that's the narrative says he went to Yale. So, you know, clearly he comes from privilege and money and whatnot. And talking about the stuff that comes with that and, you know, trying to make him a very noble person. And he did some great things. But there's also some things that are part of his history that we need to talk about, too. And I'm really, really appreciative for the fact that we're talking about, especially one of those things, this whole business of this prison industrial complex that we can definitely connect with him or connect to him. 404-892-2703. I'm going to the lines. Will, how you doing, Will?
Good, Dr. Bennett. Appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, man, wouldn't miss it for the world. What's on your mind?
Has somebody already covered about Bush's father being the builder of Auschwitz? Everybody can look it up. He was a Silesian American steel company that built the labor camp there that in 1946 the Russian Edomites, they call themselves Zionists, built a fake chimney to get the distraction from hiding the fact that the ZI and Nazi stands for Zionists. You can prove that by the Mildenstein medal. But he also, Bush himself, killed his crew, the gunner and navigator, off of Chichijima, bailing out, saying that the cockpit was full of flames, and we have eyewitnesses saying not a puff of smoke came out of his torpedo bomber. And you look at the picture of him being brought out of the water by the submarine, that's a picture of an 18-year-old kid who knows he is a coward who murdered his crew. But he was, there was no nobility in him at all. It's a satanic deception. If you read the Bible, understand that in the last days there'll be a satanic deception. And Bush 41 was the guy who was one of the field supervisors with his father's homosexual lover, Richard Nixon, killing John Kennedy.
All right, Will. Thank you so much, man. I want you to email me, inbox me, because I want to ask you some questions I can't ask you on the air. All right, thank you so very much, Will. Will gives us a lot of interesting information. Dion, go ahead, Dion. I'm trying to get to these callers before we run out of time. What's up, Dion?
Hey, what's going on, Dr. Bennett?
Man, I'm loving myself. What you think about 41?
George H.W. Bush. What could we say? I mean, I hear you. Your topic is about George H.W. Bush and his accomplishments, but what has he done for the African-American community?
I think what he did was he found a way to turn us into sources of revenue by creating this prison industrial complex. Well, I shouldn't say created, but God knows he definitely put it on he definitely made it very lucrative to arrest black folk.
Exactly. He was the first one to publicly coin the phrase, well, not the first one, but someone that was in political office to coin the phrase, the New World Order.
Uh-huh.
So he put the will in motion. Also, it was under his administration that the entire, and I heard the former caller talk about it, the entire Freeway Ricky Ross out there in California and how he was selling crack cocaine to supply the Contras down in Nicaragua. And you could see it in a documentary from that news writer, that news reporter by the name of Gary Webb, and they did a documentary, a movie actually on it, called Don't Kill the Messenger. The entire thing is documented, and like Freeway Ricky Ross was clueless that he was actually selling cocaine to supply the Contras, and his dealer, his plug, was the CIA. All of this under the auspices, all of this under the watch of George H.W. Bush. So when you talk about Bush, brother, be careful. But one thing I do want to put out there in the universe, you need a discussion about the spiritual, theological landscape of Atlanta and the hiring of Dr. Jamal Bryant by New Birth Missionary Baptist Church.
Hey, we'll deal with that. We're going to deal with that. I think that's going to be a great conversation topic. Thank you so much, Dayon. Thank you. I'm going to get my last caller. Go ahead, Henry.
Okay. Good evening.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Well, sir. We was basically trying to speak again of, I didn't go in the military, but we know like what they have, what they call a change of command.
Mm-hmm.
And how you really give, you know, not say necessarily salute the person that's another higher rank, but actually I'm just saying as related to the president, and they'll try to speak about him and with some type of the position that he held, not necessarily the person himself, but the position that he was in,
give that
position, particularly during these days, a little bit, you know, not saying nobody disrespected. But in that regard, you know, try to look at it from that aspect that, you know, to even get to that position, you have to have something that the public have some desire for you to be in that office. Even though you might have manipulated your way in there, it's something that some of the public, at a percentage of the public, has at least assessed that you have some qualities that's qualify you or that is okay for you to be in that office. So from that regard, you know, I was saying, you know, I don't know exactly what he's doing of good, but from that regard, you know, that's where I'm trying to reflect on him for the next 2 or 3 days.
Okay. Well, man, I appreciate that, Henry. Thank you for calling. Are you a first-time caller?
No.
I mean, is this your first time calling? Give us some thought.
I'm saying we have called your program sometime earlier.
Okay, man. I was going to give you some. I was going to give you some first time love to let you know I appreciate you. You're calling and I appreciate your comments. All right. Hey, listen. Yeah, have you joined the group, the Gist of the Matter group on Facebook? Are you on Facebook?
No, I'm really still got to get in contact with a younger generation. It really be more for me with the Facebook, man.
That's all right, bro. That's all right. We're gonna stay in touch though, one way or the other. And I appreciate you listening. And hey, man, appreciate you. All right.
All right.
Hey, listen. Wow. Can y'all believe 2 hours have gone? They have just flown by. And I'm just sitting here just, you know, looking at my notes and thinking about many of the points you all have raised. And I think they are some good points. Clearly, 41 has made a mark on America. He has made a mark on the world. And even now, America is in many ways feeling the repercussions of what he has done. And when I say what he has done, in many ways, he got us involved in the Middle East, Iraq, Kuwait, you know, that whole issue of terrorism. And, you know, that thing in many ways can be connected to some of the policies of 41. This whole business. And you heard it mentioned earlier. One of our callers talked about, I think it was Dr. Brown, talked about Michelle Alexander's book. This, you know, the whole idea of the new Jim Crow. I think that's the title of our book. You know, and the prison industrial complex, George, you know, 41 and his war on drugs, you know, hey, that type of thing. You know, so there's a lot to be talked about. There's some good and there's some bad. But as I get ready to leave the air this afternoon, I just want you to think about 41. But in another way, I want you to think about this. What folk going to say about you? What will your legacy be? That's something to think about. Are you giving folks something to work with so they can say something good about you or something bad? Something we can talk about another day. All right, getting ready to go. Sean, thank you so much, man, for making this thing happen. Thank you, brother. There's no way I can do it without you. My audience, I appreciate you. Hey, my HBCU students love you. And Jackie Teal, love you, baby. You raised a strong black man. Talk to you next time. Stay woke.